121, a very familiar psalm. You may have memorized it either lately or when you were a child. Maybe the kids in school are still learning this psalm. I hope they are. Or we could learn it in our homes. But it's one that is worth meditating and has blessed many, many people throughout their lives. Psalm 121, the second of the 15 Psalms of Ascents. Before we read, let us pray for the illumination, the light of the Holy Spirit. Father, as we have now opened the sacred scriptures, as we have before us this page from which we will read, we pray that you will cast your light upon it and upon our minds and hearts, both of preacher and hearer. We pray that we may be hearers and doers of the Word of God, that we may believe, that we may trust, that our faith may be strengthened as we read this psalm and as it is proclaimed. In the name of Christ we pray, amen. Psalm 121, a song of ascents. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help? From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. We could read all of it as the text, but verse 5 probably captures the central thought of the entire psalm. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord stands forever. The people who first sang Psalm 121 were pilgrims. They were on their way to Jerusalem, to Zion, to the city of God, the place of God's temple, the dwelling place of God, the place of His throne, basically to the Holy of Holies and back to the Garden of Eden. Psalm 121 was one of those 15 psalms that were sung by the travelers on the way to Zion. 15 of these, beginning with 120, going through 134, were used by the travelers, and you will see in every one of them there's a little heading, a song of ascents, and that means they were ascending the hill of Zion. They were going up to Jerusalem, to the temple, to worship God. You are such a pilgrim. I know you don't live in ancient Israel, nor have you been in captivity for 70 years, but you are traveling. And this psalm has often been called the traveler's psalm. But it's not just any journey. We are journeying for as many years as God gives us to the city of God. And for many of us, Psalm 121 is a favorite psalm, and it is one that may even be recited on one's deathbed. This psalm teaches us to think of the life of a believer in Jesus Christ as a pilgrimage. Psalm 121 puts words into our mouths so that we too can join the throngs that are traveling to the heavenly city. And today we are in that throng because we are gathered in public worship, and we too need to sing this song, as we've already done twice this evening. We are called in this psalm to lift up our eyes to the Lord, our Maker. We lift up our eyes to the Lord who never sleeps and who is our shade. We are called, and we call each other when we sing it, to lift up our eyes to the Lord who watches over your whole life. So we will think about this song as a meditation in three phases, I'm going to call it. Now, these points that I'm making probably are not that distinct. Everything flows into another as it does. We could have had 4 points for each of the two verses of 8 verses of the Psalm, 2, 2, 2, and 2. But I'm going to think of it this way. First of all, a theme spoken in faith. Secondly, a theme elaborated. And thirdly, a theme continued. So begin with the first two verses. Here is a theme spoken by faith. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. This theme is a confession spoken by us pilgrims on our way to God. 3 times a year in Israel, the faithful would journey to Jerusalem for the great feasts of the Passover, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles, or booths, when people lived in tents. Maybe they, I don't know whether they thought of it as vacation or camping on vacation, but they lived in tents. It was a time of great joy. These were joyous days when they came for these feasts of Passover, Weeks, and Tabernacles. Our Lord Jesus Christ was 12 years old when his parents took him to Jerusalem for one of these feasts, the Passover. Luke 2 verses 41 to 52 tell us about that. I mentioned there are 15 Psalms of Ascents, and it was this that was in the minds of the pilgrims as they traveled to Jerusalem, from all parts of the land of Israel to their beloved temple in Jerusalem. There they would sing these psalms on their way. That's what they were for. They were composed for that very purpose, to sing as they were going. And I would trust that maybe you will read these 15 psalms with a little bit of a different light than you sometimes do, thinking about all of them as something you would sing on the way to church. Maybe you should sing them on the way to church. Keep a Psalter hymnal in the car and sing one of these on your way to church every Sunday, if you can calm your kids down and all that and teach them that it would be wonderful to do, wouldn't it? But these were what they sang, and this Psalm 121 is the second of the 15 psalms. These psalms took on a new significance, probably, in the lives of God's Old Testament people. When the Israelites were taken, or the Jews were taken into exile in Babylon for 70 years. Now, maybe they had these psalms before. I kind of think they did. We don't know exactly when each one was composed. But they take on a new significance, as they still have them when they're in captivity. And for years, they long for home. For years, they long for the temple that's been destroyed by the armies of Nebuchadnezzar. And finally, the captives are released after 70 years. And they make their long trek back, especially during Nehemiah and Ezra's time. And they finally get back, and of course, there was the project of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem and rebuilding the temple itself and setting up worship once again in the great city of Jerusalem. They're finally released, and they make that long trek back over the difficult roads all the way from Babylon to Zion, and Zion is short for Jerusalem, where the temple is. And it's not hard to imagine how these psalms would have resonated deeply in the hearts of these pilgrims as they drew nearer to Jerusalem. They could begin to see its hills and its low mountains. Here was the dwelling place of God at last. As they were traveling the long road home from exile day after day, and remember, they couldn't just drive it in their nice cars, but they had to make a long, long trek, maybe walking, sometimes having an animal or two to use. But they traveled that long road home, and they would have had plenty of time to meditate on what was happening. Probably to remember the sins that had driven them out of the land for the reason why God had sent them into captivity. But time to meditate also on God's saving grace, for he was bringing them back, and even a pagan king had been moved to let the Israelites, the captives, go. And when they at last drew nearer, they could look up and declare, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? And they could firmly confess, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The creator of heaven and earth could surely be their keeper, and they are nearing home. This is a confession for pilgrims still. We too are pilgrims on a journey. Of course, if you want to meditate more on that idea, read Pilgrim's Progress. It's an old book, 400 years old or so, by John Bunyan. But you can't go wrong reading a good book like that, which meditates on all the phases of the pilgrimage of the Christian. But here we are on our journey, not to an earthly Jerusalem, but to the heavenly one, the heavenly city. And we are on that journey and have this same conviction that our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. This is a song for pilgrims during all of our daily labors. You can keep it in mind if you're out in the field or in an office or in a truck or wherever you might happen to work. You can keep this in mind. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. These words resonate in other psalms. Psalm 115, I'm just going to mention them. You'll probably not flip around and find them, but just trust me. Psalm 115, verse 15. Psalm 124, verse 8. Psalm 134, verse 3. Psalm 146, verse 6. All of them say, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. These words accompany our work. They accompany having children and raising children to serve Christ. They accompany us in our service within the church and in the Christian community. As a believer, you know where your help comes from, the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. No doubt knowing this explains why we gladly take our place among those who support and take an active part in the local church. So this is a song for you and me today. Our testimony, our confession of faith. From the earliest days, this song, echoed in Psalm 124, verse 8, has marked the beginning of Christian worship, a practice revived during the Reformation, and we do it right here in this church. As the minister begins the service, he always says, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. This, too, is our confession. Now, this theme is unfolded. That's my second point. This theme is unfolded or elaborated in the psalm. The fact that our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth is unfolded here. It's unfolded in a variety of situations, as you can see looking at verses 3 through 6. Here is a theme of dependence on the Lord, finding help from Him, and applying it to a variety of circumstances. And here we should pay careful attention that six times the poet uses the word keeper or keep. The Lord, Jehovah or Yahweh, whichever way you pronounce it, protects, guards, keeps the pilgrim. You might be traveling, you might be going to the heavenly city, but all along the way, the Lord is keeping you. And this becomes very evident in our English Standard Version. If you have it in front of you, look at what it says in verse 6, and I'm going to emphasize the word keep. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Now, it should become obvious to us that the psalmist composed this pilgrim song very carefully. The Holy Spirit was directing, clearly. But he uses the gifts of the author, and the author is very careful as he depends upon the leading of the Holy Spirit. Right in the middle of the psalm are these important words in verse 5, the Lord is your keeper. Now, you can count. There are 8 lines before that line, the Lord is your keeper. And there are 8 lines after it. Can we miss the point? Can we miss it? The Lord is your keeper. That's the big point that's being made in this psalm. The great benediction spoken by Aaron the priest seems to be in the mind of the psalmist in all of these Psalms of Ascent, you might look for that if you're reading the other Psalms, the Psalms of Ascent, 120 through 134. The benediction is behind it all. And this Psalm, 121, focuses just on one phrase in the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. And keep you. Isn't that a beautiful thing to think about on your way to Zion? On your way to God's house? On your way to worship Him? And keep you. He keeps you. And you go over and over and over it as meditation does, as in this psalm. The Lord bless you and keep you. That the Lord is our keeper is suggested by the ordinary conditions of pilgrimage. The psalmist seems to think of an ever-expanding circle of promises from God. Is the pilgrim in danger of slipping on an uneven mountain road? Notice what he says. He will not let your foot be moved. Are there any moments when the Lord falls asleep? You know how Elijah ridiculed the prophets of Baal by suggesting that their God was asleep. But what does the psalmist say? He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Well, can the burning sun become too hot for you on your pilgrimage, like it was maybe a week or so ago here? Well, the Lord is your shade on your right hand, he says. The sun shall not strike you by day. The prophet Jonah found out God's keeping when he was in a very bad mood and was watching to see when God's fireworks would start landing on the great city of Nineveh, which he preached the gospel to and then wished that they wouldn't get converted. And he was hoping that God would blow up the city in an instant. But the sun got hot out there. But what happened? A vine grew up overnight and provided shade for Jonah. Jonah 4 verse 2 tells you, so the sun, the Lord is your shade. The sun will not strike you by day. His shadow always keeps you. Well, what about the cold of the night? Sometimes you travel when it's kind of cool. Or possibly are you superstitious about the moon? Some are. Will the moon make you a lunatic? Will you be harmed? Well, notice what it says. Nor the moon by night. And that about means everything then, doesn't it? The Lord will keep you safe from the sun and the moon and everything in between. Whether the sun is shining, whether the moon is shining, everything in between, the Lord will be your keeper. In fact, the psalmist thinks now of every possible danger in verses 7 and 8. He enlarges his view. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. Are there any circumstances where the Lord will not guard and keep you? What about illness? The Lord is your keeper. What about temptation? The Lord is your keeper. What about an economic crash? The Lord is your keeper. What about a pandemic? The Lord will keep you from all evil. In fact, there is no sphere of activity where the Lord is not present, guarding, keeping. The Lord will guard, will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. As you travel to the mountain of God and return to your home, as you live in this life and even into the next life, the Lord will keep you. Your life journey here may come to a close, but He still keeps you in eternity. For then He has taken you into His dwelling place in heaven. Then you are in the Garden of Eden once again. Then you are in the Holy of Holies. There you are right in the presence of God Himself. Surely there the Lord will keep you. Now that doesn't mean you can count on living a cushioned life. Scripture is clear, and Jesus points it out. Luke 21, 16 and 17. Jesus says, you will be delivered up by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake. So clearly, if the Lord is your keeper, it doesn't mean that you will never have any trouble or that you won't be despised and persecuted. Perhaps there's more trouble for those who know and follow Christ than before. But there is this amazing promise that our lives will be well armed, for we are under the protection of the Almighty, who is our Father. For Jesus also adds in that setting, in verse 18 of Luke 21, but not a hair of your head will perish. The Lord is your keeper. That's a New Testament way of saying it, isn't it? Not a hair of your head will perish. The Lord is your keeper. What comfort there is then in these words for us when we are in sorrow or facing any kind of loss. What comfort to know that even in our going, the Lord is our shade on our right hand. And do we begin then to hear the words of the great Apostle Paul? For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8, 38 and 39. So we've seen this theme spoken by faith, this theme elaborated, and then this theme is also continued. Where is it continued? Well, it has to be continued in our own pilgrimage. We are not alone in this pilgrimage. No longer do we journey to a literal Jerusalem or to a literal temple on Mount Zion. We have noted that. Ultimately, the pilgrims who first sang Psalm 121 weren't going to an earthly temple either. That temple simply pointed to the heavenly Zion, where we too are traveling. So we're all on this road together with the Old Testament believers and the New. And many other saints are traveling with us on this road. Psalm 121 is not a psalm for the lone pilgrim all by yourself. We are in the company of the people of God. The Old Testament church and the New Testament church are actually together on the same road. So the author of Hebrews assures us in Hebrews 12, you have not come to a mountain that can be touched, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. Jehovah, the Lord, will not let our foot slip, and His shadow still hovers over us, shading us today. So we say, our help still comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And this help comes to us especially through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is another reason why we may so confidently use the words of Psalm 121 in our own pilgrimage still. Not only are there other believers who are pilgrims with us on the way to Zion, but the chief pilgrim on our journey is the Lord Jesus Himself. After all, Jesus was a faithful Jewish boy brought up. He was taken to the temple when he was 12. He learned these psalms. He traveled to Jerusalem. He sang the Psalms of Ascent. He sang all the psalms. He knew them well, and he certainly could sing Psalm 121. He did literally journey to the earthly Mount Zion. In fact, he was determined to travel to Jerusalem not only when he was 12, but later on it says he set his face toward Jerusalem, even when his disciples thought it was too dangerous to go there because they knew that he had enemies there and he would be captured and arrested, and he was finally crucified. There Jesus was crucified for us when he went to the earthly Jerusalem. There he endured the agony of hell. There he endured the curse so that he could protect us from the curse and keep us. And then we would not be cursed but blessed. There Jesus suffered all evil so that he might take away all evil from us. But he is also then especially our keeper. It is through his watchful care, his keeping, that the church is brought all the way to Zion. God is still, and Jesus is still taking care of his church. He is its chief shepherd. He kept us even when he was abandoned by his father. And that's why the author of the book of Hebrews can also say to us in chapter 12, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He leads the way and he keeps us all the way. Dear brothers and sisters in Jesus, this psalm has comforted many believers all their lives. It is surely given to us as well. Throughout the full number of days in which the Lord has written in his book for us, according to Psalm 139, 16. And in our final days, we can rest in the knowledge that the Lord is our keeper who would watch over our coming and going both now and forevermore. And maybe when you die, you can recite Psalm 121 or something else in Scripture that would be a testimony to the fact that the Lord is your keeper. The only way that we can enjoy this comfort is if we will commit ourselves by faith, body and soul, to our faithful Savior Jesus Christ in life and in death. There is no doubt that the same God who was with the pilgrims to Zion long ago is with us. He calls us to put our full trust in the one who died and arose for us. And then we can also say genuinely, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And you can borrow this extended meditation on one phrase from the benediction and keep you. Actually, you don't need to borrow it. It already belongs to you. It is given to you. You can then be fully confident that your Savior Jesus not only traveled the path of sorrow before you, but precisely because he was the pilgrim traveling that road, he can be and is your keeper. The Lord bless you and keep you. Amen. Father in God, thank you for this wonderful pilgrim song. Thank you for the words that were composed by the Holy Spirit via the psalmist, whoever that psalmist was. Thank you for the countless thousands of Israelites and Jews who sang it on their way to Jerusalem. For Jesus, who sang it, no doubt, on his way. And as he plants these words in our hearts and minds, may we keep singing it ourselves. May we have full confidence that he is the one who is our keeper. We thank you for the great comfort given, that whether we are living in the fullness of life or whether we are almost ready to draw our last breath, the Lord is our keeper. The Lord is the shade upon our right hand. The Lord will keep us from all harm. So may we trust in Jesus fully. May we be built up in this most holy faith on our way to Zion. For Jesus' sake, we pray. Amen.